Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
Serving up a warm dish of the Triad's culinary fare, here's your weekly helping of food, news, and views. This is the man who ate the town.
Hey, folks, and welcome to episode 193 of the Man Who Ate the Town podcast. This is for the week of March 29th through April 4th, 2021. My name is Tim Beeman.
My name is Ray Morgan.
And we are opening the recipe box. We are recording this episode of the Man Who Ate the Town in the Less Desirable Studio South, also known as my house. We are practicing social distancing and using Zoom, sponsored by Bull's Tavern, the recently reopened Bull's Tavern, open till 2 a.m. now. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcatchers like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or anything like that, we'd appreciate a like, a follow, a rating. Whatever they allow you to do, we would appreciate if you did it. It would help us tremendously, more than you will ever know. And if you're listening to us on the Triad Podcast Network, welcome and thank you. So this episode of The Man Who Ate the Town is brought to you by Washington Park and Perk and Provision Company, located at 301 West 4th Street. You'll find a little bit of everything at the Perk. A chip corner, a deli to get your sandwich on the go. Fruits, veggies, meats, and dairy from local sources. Bingo Bango sodas, Wolfie's custard, a wall of beer and wine, and more. Washington Perk is better than a convenience store, but not quite a grocery store. On Facebook, they're Washington Perk, or at Washington Perk underscore DTWS on Instagram. Remarkably, there's not a whole lot to talk about this week as far as news goes. I guess the biggest factor in all the Winston-Salem food and beverage realm has been restaurants can open at 75% capacity now, and bars and such can stay open until 2 a.m. Numbers have looked pretty good for North Carolina, and this has allowed more places to start rebuilding their businesses.
I'd say it's a little closer to normal.
Yeah. Now, the mask mandate hasn't gone away and won't for a while, if ever. Remember that wearing a mask isn't about you. It's not about protecting you, your politics, or your beliefs. It's about protecting others from the shit you may be carrying and don't even know it. Get your vaccines, too, so your favorite restaurant can have you there. And you'll notice that they may have just gotten busier, which is good for them.
Yeah. Did you notice that there's actually a local company that's rewarding people for getting a vaccine?
Oh, yes. We noticed. We mentioned that on the podcast last week.
That's right. That's where I first heard it. Yeah.
And I would say social media. Local-ish, since they moved all their operations to Charlotte now. But they started here.
Right.
1937. Yep.
Still a North Carolina company. We'll give them that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit sore on that, though. Alma Mexicana announced that they will be doing some events starting in May, and then will reopen their restaurant full-time and with 75% capacity starting in June. That's good news. I hate seeing that building sitting idle. Such a great location. It was popular before the pandemic ruined it for everyone.
Oh, it's a great spot. I mean, yeah. Really cool interior and great place to just hang out. And good food.
Yeah.
Right there at Bailey Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get it and go.
Glad
it,
here.
You can either, because they have some outdoor, they will have some outdoor seatings, or you can get it and take it across the street and sit in the park and eat it, you know?
Good stuff. And the kind of weather we're having now? Yeah. That's an idea.
Yeah. Now, the weird thing is going to be Thursday, I think it is, when it gets down to 40-something, and then by the weekend, it's back up into the 70s and 80s. Welcome to North Carolina, y'all.
Another wait an hour.
Diamondback Grill is casual dining located in the heart of Buena Vista in Winston-Salem and is a fantastic family-owned farm-to-fork restaurant which sources most of its ingredients from local farmers. Friday nights, to my chagrin, are no longer prime rib nights at Diamondback Grill. But the good news is it's now just steak night. Yay! So it's still red meat galore, and I am so happy about that. Let's have a party. They are at 751 Avalon Road. Find them on the web at diamondbackgrill.com and on Facebook and Instagram. So I took Stephanie to the new Butcher's Block Butcher Shop across the street from Alma Mexicana in the Link Apartments Innovation Quarter this Saturday. I will say their prices for a butcher shop, especially a high-end butcher shop in that location, are fantastic. They're quite comparable to the grocery stores and bigger retailers like Costco, and the quality is higher than those places. So we bought, we bought 2 pounds of 80/20 certified Angus beef ground beef, 2 large French cut pork rib chops, a wild boar sausage, an elk sausage, and rabbit sausage, and the whole cost was $31.
Wow.
Yeah. And those, wow. I'm telling you, those chops were huge. Huge.
We may have to come down for that.
Hey, you can come to Hay.
Wrong podcast. My wife's here.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Went okay? Okay, good. We did. We went there, and the stuff was good. The quality was amazing of the chops, of all that stuff. I cooked up and steamed the sausages, and we had our own little charcuterie board with 4 different kinds of cheeses, fig jam, and apple butter. So we pulled out a board. I think you remember a couple of years back, the Winston-Salem Open, they had the cheese of Europe or whatever it was, and I got that big, huge thing of blue cheese and gorgonzola and stuff. And they gave me a cutting board too, so I put the cutting board out. I did those 3 sausages and I cut them up, and the cheeses were laid out by Stephanie, and the jams and butters and stuff, and it was really good. But we had that, oddly enough, as dessert, you know, because I think cheese is a good dessert. So,
well, you had the jams there to sweeten it just a little.
Right. So what did we have for the entree if that was dessert? I took the chops, topped them with my own garlic, thyme, rosemary, parsley compound butter. Had some rice with green beans, corn, and peas, and some pan roasted potatoes. So those were magnificent. I'll send you a picture after we're done here.
Really sounds good.
Yeah, they were. They really were. I was so proud of it too. I'm like, man, this is good. So that's a plus.
The chef in the house is starting to rub off.
Yes. Well, that's how the chef got his start, was with me, and I'd kind of gotten away from that. And I'm like, you know, because usually Fridays and Saturdays are our nights to go out. But we did a lot of running around Saturday afternoon. I'm like, what do you think about not going out? Especially now that I am, after yesterday, I'm officially vaccinated fully.
Yay.
Yeah, so she can not worry as much about eating indoors, but she still has till a week from today before she gets her second shot, and then 14 days later before she's fully vaccinated. But
yeah, mine's 2 weeks out from now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm in that same kind of boat.
So we decided just go ahead and eat in, you know, now we can, well, we can go out and eat later, but I just wanted to have a night in, and that's odd for me because I don't like eating at home. So on Sunday I made with the ground beef from the butcher's block, so mixed in only a pound of that, but some onions, garlic, salt and pepper, and caraway seeds, and did my first attempt at making Mongolian buz, B-U-U-Z, dumplings. If I had lamb, it would have been authentic buz, but I didn't. So I made my own dumplings. I made my own, all that stuff myself. I filled them all. I couldn't get them pretty like they are, you know, with the little ridges and stuff. But I got them. I got them in there good. And then
they're in there.
And then I steamed them.
Tasty, not pretty.
Yeah, I have these with my pans that I have, the saucepans that I have. I took. I have a steamer basket that goes on top, so I just put them in there and lined it up in there. Put a little bit of olive oil spray in first, and then put those in there and steamed them for 20 minutes. They came out perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. So I also made a great soy. I say soy with quotation marks, air quotes, because it's made with liquid aminos, which is made from fermented coconut and Worcestershire, to which I added some powdered ginger. I use that because the liquid aminos is very low sodium, and Worcestershire is almost non-existent sodium. So that's what I use in place of soy sauce anytime we cook that requires soy sauce. So
yeah,
it's really, really, really fantastic. Like I said, and that powdered ginger made it really cool too. At the butcher's block, we also got to try some delicious Prince Edward Island oysters. They had great salinity, which means they had that saltwater taste that you want from a fresh oyster, and great flavor. It's better than the Chesapeake oysters that you find in most restaurants around here, especially. Highly recommend going and checking out the butcher block. It's, again, it's on East Fifth Street in the Innovation Quarter in the new Link Apartments, right across the street from Alma Mexicana and Incendiary and Gino Forno and all that. You won't be disappointed.
We'll have to check that out. Whitney's on a keto diet.
Yeah.
She's, for health reasons, she's working through eating a lot more protein.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's that sounds like a great source.
Oh, it is.
We're going to have to check that out.
Yeah. And their stuff comes in several times a week. Seafood comes in 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday.
Coming directly from the coast?
From several places.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I know during the big pause,
yeah,
so many of us have had to learn to do more cooking at home.
Yeah.
So knowing that we've got a great quality source for good ingredients,
yeah,
especially the meat.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, not saying anything bad about grocery store meat departments, because a lot of them do really, really good work. But a lot of it's not certified Angus beef. It's just whatever they can get. And this is cab stuff, you know, so it's really, really good. And again, the prices are comparable to anywhere around town. You may pay a dollar more.
Right. I remember buying my beef directly from a local farmer who raised his own cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality on a plate, you could just look at it and see the difference, but then you could taste it. I remember we had run out of the beef. So my wife had gone to the store and just used store-bought beef in the spaghetti sauce now.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell the difference immediately. Yeah. First bite, it's like the She's like, how can you tell me? It doesn't taste the same. That level of quality, man, you taste the difference.
Yeah.
And if it costs a little more, you once you have it, you will not ever want to go back.
Right. Yeah.
You know, once you've seen it, that's it. You're done.
If you don't care about the quality of your meat, then go anywhere else.
Right.
Save a couple of dollars. Fine. If you care about the quality of your meat, then you should definitely go to your local butcher shop, whether it's the cutting, the butcher's block, the Smoke City Meats, or the new one that's going to show up on Broad Street in the next couple of months, hopefully, if Alan and his folks still get that going.
Good.
And also the Ogburn Meat Market up there, mm-hmm. or not far from Taste of the Triad.
The airport.
Yep. So check out your local butcher shops. And Old World Market, I don't know if they're still in Winston, but I think they're somewhere Winston adjacent. And they do a good job too. So definitely check out your local butcher shops. It's just a good place to get your stuff. Carrabba's Italian Grill, located at 587 South Stratford Road. This is no chain. This is a responsible family of restaurants. Carrabba's and their owner partners take the communities they serve very seriously. It's in their charter. And for us, having a fantastic franchisee like Daniel Butner certainly does not suck. He does a lot of stuff for the community. It's not just, hey, look at my chain restaurant. Because it's not like that there. You never get the feeling that it's a chain restaurant. And the food is always fantastic. It's not heavily salted like what other people want to compare Carrabba's to here in town would be. Starts with OG. And that's not real Italian food. And this is, so people are clear, this is not an Italian restaurant. They are an Italian grill. Their focus is on the things that go on the grill. They're not, they have pasta and it's really good pasta, but mm-hmm. they're not doing a lot of the stuff that Italian restaurants are doing. So don't compare them, but still, yes. If you want,
not worth it.
No. If you want a Carrabba's or you want an Italian grill experience, go to Carrabba's. The chicken piccata is huge right now. Their whole spring menu is looking delicious. So get on their mailing list and see what they have coming up.
You go in, it's pretty clear that, like you said, that Daniel doesn't think of this as a chain. He's not trying to meet chain standards. He's trying to meet his own standards, which I think are probably much higher than what Carrabba's is asking of him.
Yeah.
But you see the pride that he takes in everything that comes out of that kitchen. And oh man, you're right. It is an Italian grill with a grill that nicely seasoned and chefs that know how to use it.
Yes. And his people have been there for a long time. So it's not just one of those in and out places where turnover is so much that the food's inconsistent, that everything is always consistent there.
Well, he treats his people so well, they don't want to go anywhere else.
Exactly.
You know, when you get that kind of a work environment, you're like, oh, no, I want this. I'm going to keep this.
Yes. So,
and then that translates into a better experience for us.
Exactly. I mean, pay it forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check them out, Carrabba's, on social media and carrabbas.com. So let's talk burgers. Yeah.
Oh, Burger, we love that subject.
Yes. Burger Tour 21 started last week. I broke my 3-a-week rule since I now have 87 on the list and I'm trying to catch up.
I'm going to make a prediction that it'll be closer to 100 before you're done.
Quite possibly, but I will not get to all 87. I know this. I understand this. But, you know, I will try to get to as many of them as possible. Officially,
I knew the burgers were this ubiquitous. Yeah.
Officially, last week I had a burger from Chin Chin, Local Artisan, TJ's Deli, Times Square Pizza, Zito, and Willow's. I will say
wow,
that.
You were booking last week.
And then I had two more that I'm not counting.
Oh, my gosh. Now, why do they not count?
Well, one is still a brand new place that I think are still trying to get their legs, and I don't want to. I want them to level themselves out. And the other was I was already in line and realized that that's one of the places that Street Team Steven wanted to go with me. So,
fair enough.
And plus, and I'll tell you who it was, Mr. Barbecue. And I want to give them a little time to get their grill seasoned. Although, mm-hmm. I will say, it was a fantastic burger, you know, a weekend. So it was great. So,
well, I appreciate that in both cases you're giving them time.
Yeah.
So that they, you know that they're doing a quality entry.
Right. And as far as Papa Lee's goes, I want to be fair to them, but I also want to, because he trusts what I say to him. So I go and I tell him, okay, I didn't particularly care for this thing or I did like it or whatever, you know. You know how I am. I refuse to tear anybody down. So I will just say that, I think this is a little different than what I was expecting, or this is better than I thought it was going to be. It happens both ways. And, but I also want to give him business. I mean, he's starting this new venture, and I want to make sure that he's supported. And I think he has a possibility to take it a long place. But I will say that in those that I had last week, there were some very good to great burgers, and there were some real duds. I won't say which ones are which. As I said, I'm not divulging any info until later this year.
Because I'm just like dying to talk to you about every one of those.
Right. Well, see,
some of those I've had, some of them I have not.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the benefit that you have is you get inside information.
Well, yeah.
Membership has its perks.
I'm going to say, I'm part of the team.
This is true.
I should know what's coming ahead of everybody else.
Yes. I have.
Sometimes it's, we're about to do this and we're recording.
Yeah. Yeah. I have put a post on one of the local foodie boards on Facebook about recommendations. That's where this longer list came from. But I'm asking the same of my listeners. Where do you want me to try a burger for the list? Send me a message on Facebook or via the Man Who Ate the Town Facebook or tim@themanwhoatethetown.com. I want to try a lot of burgers this year, so send me your places. All right. Well, let's do some food holidays. And that is...
What's coming up this week?
Well, Food Holidays is sponsored by Mojito Latin Soul Food. It is your go-to Cuban Latin-inspired restaurant. Their Cubano sandwich is, to me, hands down, the best sandwich in town. All the flavors punch you in the tongue, and the sandwich is made in the tradition that Michael grew up with. And you know the Mojito Burger will be on the burger tour, too.
It's gotta be.
Yep. Mojito Latin Soul Food does reservations. They do takeout. And have a rather large outdoor patio and do deliveries to surrounding businesses like Fiddling Fish, Broad Branch, and Wise Men. Check them out on their Facebook page and mojitolatinsoulfood.com. And they also own Tuning Fork Provision, and they are known for their street food like burgers and hot dogs and stuff. So the burger from Tuning Fork will also be on the tour.
Maybe there's another pit against each other.
But the Mojito Burger is more pork and chorizo and stuff, where the Tuning Fork.
Apples and apples.
Yeah, no, that's apples and pork
and apple pie.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 29th, today is the 29th of March. It's National Lemon Chiffon Cake Day.
Ew.
Where, lemon chiffon cake. At on the 29th in 1848, about midnight, for the first time in recorded history, a large upstream ice jam stopped almost all water flow over the Niagara Falls, both the American Falls and Canadian Horseshoe Falls, for 30 hours. You could actually walk out into the riverbed below the falls.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water to back up.
Yes, it was.
Have you ever seen it?
I have never been there.
Oh, I've had the joy of seeing it in person. That's a lot of water.
You know, I'm if I'm being honest about sightseeing in America, it is the New England area that excites me. There's, I would like to see Seattle and the Pacific Northwest a little. There's some parts of California maybe, but for the most part, American sightseeing does nothing for me. But I am fascinated with the Northeast New England area. So maybe getting
to history or the geography.
That I do or don't like. What do you ask?
What is it about Northeast in particular that
some of the history? Yes, it's just that it has cultural significance, I guess. Too, I love Boston. We were there in Boston. We loved that. I would love to go, you know, New Hampshire, Vermont, those areas. I'd love to see upstate New York. I've never been in New York City. I want to go there. So even, you know, I've been to Philadelphia twice. I'd like to go back there. Can't really say there's a lot of New Jersey that I'd want to see, but Western Pennsylvania, I'd like to go. You know, Pittsburgh is very near and dear to me. I'd like to go there. Maybe even over into Ohio some, but not.
I've been to Pittsburgh. That was a lot of fun. Pittsburgh was a really cool spot. There was so much stuff. I mean, obviously, you live there your whole life, still not see everything that's going on, but impressive. Really liked Pittsburgh. Been to New York, but not New York City. I'm like, you've never seen the Big Apple. Mm-hmm. It's on my list.
Yeah.
Just to be able to say, all right, yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
But I've been to Buffalo and loved it. I mean, it was just gorgeous scenery up there. The people were so nice. You know, the only thing that kept me from thinking that I wasn't in the South was the accent, because the people there were just like the people here.
Yeah.
That and the fact that they're deeply Italian and they cook better food than most folks have been.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the food was so good.
So did you try beef on weck when you were in Buffalo?
Yes. In fact, I was told, you will eat beef on weck. No, you can't leave here and not have our signature dish.
Right.
Oh my gosh. The way they do roast beef. I'm like, I'd love to have that recipe. I'd love to figure that out, because it was the best roast beef I've ever had.
Well, I think the biggest problem around here is the buns. A lot of people are saying, you know, get this and just use caraway seeds. Well, yes, there's caraway on it, but it's more than just caraway seeds. I think the closest anyone around here got was when Uncle Buzzy's was open. Alan Miller, who owns VIN 205 and the Wine Merchants, he's from Buffalo. And he said that it was close. Obviously, you know, Dave was using a horseradish spread instead of horseradish, which is a main component. Plus, the bread was close, but not all the way. So, you know, just the thing is getting that kind of bread here when people here don't know how to make it is part of the thing, you know, getting all the ingredients is difficult.
Well, it's the same thing that, like, when you go to New York and you try to get a biscuit, it's not right.
Right, yeah.
It's like, do y'all not know how to make a biscuit? Come on, come to my house. Let me make a biscuit. Yeah. Each region has its own cuisine that they really do. They just do it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, that beef on whack. Oh.
So what I think of when you say stuff like that is my cousin Vinny. Well, you know, when they're in Mississippi or wherever, Alabama or wherever it was they were. And what's a grit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not everybody can make grits. You go some places, you're like, okay, really, you didn't need to take the name literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Or this is more like porridge.
Yeah. Yeah. When it completely loses definition, is just mush. Nobody wants that.
Nope. All right. Well, geography lesson over here. We'll go back to our list. The 29th, 1886 today. So that's what? 135 years?
14. Yeah.
135 actually, years ago today. Coca-Cola was created by Dr. John Pemberton.
Yeah. What a great day in history.
The Republic of Ireland in 2004 becomes the first country to ban smoking in all enclosed workplaces, including bars and restaurants. Thank you, Ireland, for that.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it did, I'm sure, dwindle down the dating scene a little bit because... I used to care. I've never been a smoker, but I would carry around a lighter. Yes, let me light that for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just for the opening line, let me give you a little fire,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Yes, man, I'll light that for you. In 2020, on the 29th, about 200 million in the United States are now under stay-at-home orders. And still, some states, I think, are still hovering in that realm, although most are now opening back up slowly. But I think that still some areas, anyway, are still stay at home. Mm-hmm. So the 30th is Turkey Neck Soup Day.
Okay.
Well,
you're going to take the neck out before I eat any of it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of neck things that I didn't realize you're not like neck bones. Taste and try it. I had neck bones.
Yeah.
And it's just meaty parts. It's all this. So it's good. Yeah. It doesn't sound good, though. Turkey neck soup just sounds awful.
And really... you'd have to give that a day because nobody's going to go looking for that without somebody promoting it.
You have turkey neck soup? Why, no.
Yeah. But... You see that tomorrow at McDonald's at the drive-thru. Oh, I'd like a turkey neck soup, please. Since that day. I know y'all got it. Come on now.
Well, we make like, it what? With kangaroo, but yes, here we have it. The 30th is also National Dining Car Day. We'll find out more in a minute.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even help my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
On the 30th in 1843, Napoleon E. Guerin of New York received the first U.S. patent for an egg incubator. He was also the first to patent a life preserver.
Odd that you would come up with a way to incubate eggs and save your life at sea.
Yeah.
Interesting combination of things to do.
It is.
And I see the direct line between the two, don't you? And how one correlates directly to the other.
It's so not obvious. So, on the 30th in 1858, Hyman Lippmann, with the horrible name of Philadelphia, received a patent for the first pencil with the eraser attached.
Ah, it was his fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In 1867, on the 30th, the U.S. agreed to purchase Alaska for $7.2 million, about 2 cents an acre, from Russia. The treaty with Russia was negotiated and signed by Secretary of State William Seward and Russian Minister to the United States Edward D. Stokel. Critics at the time called it Seward's folly, yet we got a shload of land for that.
There's got to be somebody out there that's just going to disagree because, well, I'm going to disagree. Wasn't my idea, so no, it's a folly.
That's right.
I mean, we look at the Alaska wilderness now and go, wow, what a gift that we got for 2 cents an acre.
That must have all started in the critics part. Must have started in the 1867 version of Fearless. Just go with that. In 1868, the Pullman Palace Car Company introduced the first railroad dining car, which is why it's National Dining Car Day.
Even though we don't really use those that way that much now.
We don't. Take a train in Europe, though, you know, there's, you know, dining cars, but most of it is brought to you.
Yeah.
In 1899, on the 30th, the Tropical Trading and Transport Company merged with rival Boston Fruit Company to form the United Fruit Company. The company traded bananas and other tropical fruit grown in Central and South America. The company is known today as, any guesses?
Tropicana?
No. Chiquita Brands International.
Chiquita.
Yeah, Tropicana is owned by Coke, I think. It's one of those conglomerates. In 1914, on the 30th, the Morton Salt Company registered the When It Rains, It Pours trademark.
Yeah, it's a cute one.
It is. In 1972, Royal Canadian Navy soldiers are issued their very last daily rum ration.
Dang it! Cut us off!
In 2020, the coronavirus update, more distilleries are producing hand sanitizer. Disneyland and Disney World decided to stay closed indefinitely, and they're just now partially opening. U.S. domestic airline flights are down 70 to 90%. Federal Reserve estimates unemployment rate could hit 32%. I believe we got really close, if not over that.
I was going to say, we were pretty close. I thought it was really cool to see the distilleries pivot and say, we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We can take this product instead of looking at it just for entertainment and for taste. Let's provide to the community a resource that's desperately needed.
Yeah, because the only thing they were going to do is throw that stuff away anyway. It's the unusable part that is not what they are selling. They use this to make it and then discard it. And this way they could add, you know, a lot of them was giving it away at the beginning, but then why not charge after a while? You know, once the mad rush for hand sanitizer dispelled a little bit, then use it as a, because it's materials that you would already be using and you are losing money on. It's loss leader type stuff anyway. So why not? I don't fault them at all for monetizing it. I do.
No, it makes sense.
I don't fault them for doing it now, but I also applaud them for not doing it at the beginning.
Yes. Recognizing that the need was greater.
Yeah.
Right then, just a supply. And exactly. then to be able to say, you know what? We can do this long term, but if we're going to do this long term, then we need to be able to support it. So we're going to charge you something for it.
Yep.
It gave them a whole new aspect of their business that they would have never even gone into otherwise.
Exactly. Then Wednesday is the last day of the month, the 31st. It's Cesar Chavez Day. It's an official state in Hollywood, in California, Colorado, and Texas. It's not a federal holiday, but is declared annually by a presidential proclamation. It's also Whole Grain Sampling Day, which is the last Wednesday in March. National Clams on the
Sampling.
Yeah.
Can I have a sample of your wheat, please? And then some of the buckwheat and a little rye, please. Thank you.
Thank you. I just need one sprig of each.
Yeah, I just want to taste one seed. That's all. I'm just sampling.
Stephanie and I should have gone to Butcher's Block on Wednesday because it's also National Clams on the Half Shell Day.
Well, you know, there's an excuse to go back.
Right.
Not that you need it in one, but you know.
Yeah. It's also Tater Day.
Tater.
That's what they say.
You mean from cars?
Yeah. Yeah. Toe Mater. It's Mater.
Mater.
And it's Oranges and Lemons Day from the nursery rhyme that I still have never heard other than me reading it here. Oranges and lemons say the bells of St. Clemens. Bullseyes and targets say the bells of St. Margaret's. Pokers and tongs say the bells of St. John. Pancakes and fritters say the bells of St. Peter's. Two sticks and an apple say the bells of Whitechapel. Old Father Baldpate say the slow bells of Aldgate. Maids in white aprons say the bells of St. Catherine's. Brickbats and tiles say the bells of St. Giles. Kettles and pans say the bells of St. Anne's. You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me, say the bells of Old Bailey. When I grow rich, say the bells of Shoreditch. Pray, when will that be, say the bells of Stepney. I'm sure I don't know, says the great bells of Bow. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. Chip chop, the last man's dead. So that's some nursery rhyme that I'm glad I never heard as a kid.
It really sounds English, and yeah. It sounds like a way just to be able to know the different cathedrals that are in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, there ain't nothing American up there right there.
No.
I'm just going to say.
No.
Thank you, James Ealer, but that thing's an English thing. That ain't no American thing out there. We don't talk about no bells like that.
Well, this is American. So 331 in 1814, John Lineback of Salem, North Carolina. That's where we now call Old Salem because it's in Winston-Salem, received the first patent for a cottonseed hulling machine.
It was happening in Salem. Let me just tell you, it was a hotbed of activity.
It was. They're very inventive over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very creative in how they figured out how to do stuff.
Yeah. So I'm just glad that Salem got a mention on this. It's cool. On the 31st in 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the United States for the first time. I wish they would just leave it there.
Why mess with it? We know that the sun comes up to different times during the year. Just let it be okay.
Yeah. Fine with me. 1989 on the 31st, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York have finally persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve fugu. The first shipment of Japanese blowfish, also known as turufugu, arrived on that day. The chefs have to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning.
So if you don't serve that one right, you will serve poison, and yeah, that's not going to be a repeat customer.
No, it won't. 2020 on the 31st, many states and counties are blocking visitors at the borders. Countries, I'm sure it's not counties, are blocking the visitors at borders. Nursing homes are local hotspots for coronavirus infections. U.S. coronavirus cases total more than 160,000 with over 3,000 deaths. Just to bring you up to date, this morning, the toll, 30 million cases, over 30 million cases, actually closer to 31, with 549,000 deaths in the United States alone.
We lost over 7,000 last week. Yeah. So to hear that, you know, we were, 3 weeks in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably 3 months in, but what we were really seeing wasn't until mid-March till now. So, yeah, 3,000 and more than double that last week.
We were alarmed at those numbers. And when I read 30 million cases with 549,000 deaths, people are like, oh, well, you know, the flu doesn't kill that many people. Knock it off.
That's roughly 10% of our population that got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And to lose that many?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the flu's never done that.
Nope. So Thursday is April the 1st. It's April Fool's Day. Yep, I don't have any jokes to spring on anybody. It's National Sourdough Bread Day.
It's a good day for sourdough bread. I'll have to tell Whitney that's a day she has to make another one.
In 1582, France adopted the new Gregorian calendar. Prior to that, the new year was celebrated on April 1st. The new year actually started on March 25th, which fell during Holy Week. So the celebrations were delayed until the first day of April. One explanation of the origin of April Fool's Day is that those who failed to accept the new start of the year on January the 1st became the object of practical jokes. Pope Gregory the 13th introduced the Gregorian calendar in 1582. It is possible that Charles the 9th of France may have changed the start of the new year to January in 1564, but
I'm not sure. Yeah, I wasn't there then to come back and kind of scratch my memory for that, see if I can.
I'll ask my cousin's uncle. He knew. In 1864, Traveler's Life, an accident insurance company, was founded on the 1st. In 1893, the first dishwashing machine became an award-winning success at the 1893 Columbian Exposition, which used Josephine Garris Cochran's hand-operated mechanical dishwashers in its kitchen. She patented her original version on April 28th, 1886. Her company eventually evolved into, guess,
Amana?
No, but good guess. KitchenAid.
It was one of them.
I used Josephine's stand mixer to do the dough for my ooze yesterday. In 1957, on the 1st, the BBC aired a spoof TV documentary about spaghetti crops in Switzerland, showing women carefully plucking strands of spaghetti from a tree and layering them in the sun to dry. Many viewers called in asking where they could purchase their own spaghetti trees.
People sometimes are just so gullible.
Not even gullah calf. They just went straight to gullible. In 1996, more shenanigans and fun. The Taco Bell fast food chain played an April Fool's joke on the American public by claiming to have bought the Liberty Bell to pay down the national debt. In 1999... restaurant Nora in Washington, D.C. became the America's first certified organic restaurant. This means that 95% or more of everything that you eat in the restaurant has been produced by certified organic growers and farmers. And I bet it's outrageously expensive.
It's hard to hit 95% of everything. Yeah. I mean, that takes you all the way down to your salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm. In 2020, on the 1st, restaurants and bars have lost $25 billion so far due to the coronavirus. And this was 3 weeks in, right? U.S. cases.
A lot more than that.
Yeah, U.S. cases number 199,000 with over 4,300 deaths. Spain cases over 102,000 with 9,000 deaths. Italy, 110,000 cases with 13,100 deaths. Global cases number 905,000 with at least 45,000 deaths. And I'm not reading all these things to be morbid or drudge up bad memories and things and pulling Band-Aids off or scabs off the wound, but it's more of a let's not forget what we are still going through and we're not out of the woods yet, and just a this is how bad it was and still is. On the 2nd, it's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Yeah. Yes. We love that day.
Yeah. But one of these days was... Hold on. Huh. I didn't put it down. One of these days, I don't remember which one it was Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Somehow it did not make it to my list, but it happened. I believe it was... the 31st, I think Wednesday. Anyway, National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. It's also National Burrito Day, which is the first Thursday in April. So
that's always a good day.
I have two in particular that I want to recommend. They're not sponsors. It's just the ones that I like. One is Luciano Taqueria or Taqueria Luciano over on Arnolda, and the other is Antojitos Las Delicias on 5th Street. Both yes. Make wonderful, wonderful burritos. The 2nd in 1513, Ponce de Leon landed in Florida while searching for the Fountain of Youth. He thought it was just another island of the Bahamas. Oh, how he was wrong.
Yes.
In 1819, the periodical American Farmer was founded by John Skinner. In 1827, Joseph Dixon began manufacturing the first lead or graphite pencils. In 1889, Charles M. Hall received a patent for the process to extract aluminum from its ore. And in 2020, Governor Cuomo of New York closes all playgrounds in New York City. Florida issues stay-at-home order for the next 30 days, effective that day. Empty highways, grounded planes, and closed factories lead to a collapse in oil demand. Add a price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, and oil prices have collapsed to the lowest in 18 years. In some spots in Minnesota, gas was selling for about $1 a gallon.
I didn't get any of that, but... Nice.
On the 3rd, it's National Chocolate Mousse Day.
Yes.
Whipped chocolate.
You like one chocolate event.
Yeah. In 1829, James Carrington of Connecticut patented a coffee mill.
So glad that he did. Because, you know, having whole beans for coffee, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. It's a lot of soaking you have to do there. I'm sure they used mortar and pestle for it, though. In 1974, on the 3rd, the super tornado outbreak happened. 148 tornadoes in 13 states in 26 hours. The world's largest tornado outbreak in recorded history. It included 6 F5 tornadoes and 30 F4 tornadoes. The first tornado hit at 1 p.m. and the final tornado hit at 2 a.m. the following morning.
Glad I didn't live through that. That would have been terrifying.
Yes.
5 F5s.
Yeah. And 30
mile.
6 wide. F5s. 6 F5s and 30 F4s. In 1985.
That's a bad storm.
That is a bad storm. In 1985, on the 3rd, the Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood closed after 57 years. Robert Cobb, who was the owner founder of the Brown Derby, created the Cobb salad there in 1936. In 2010, students at a high school in Utah created a replica of Van Gogh's Starry Night using 2 tons of malt o'meal cereal.
Yeah. Cool.
In 2020, Los Angeles and New York City mayors tell residents to wear masks. Unemployment claims jump to a new record of 6.6 million claims. On the 4th of April, it's International Carrot Day. It's National Cordon Bleu Day and Vitamin C Day. Find out more on that in a second. On the 4th in 1828, Casparus van Woeden of Amsterdam patented chocolate milk powder.
So, oh,
yeah.
Chocolate milk powder.
Yeah.
So that's where we got the...
Like Quick.
Quick.
Yeah. And Hershey's did one too, yeah.
And it's so good you can't drink it slow.
Right, exactly. I used to take not cocoa powder, but chocolate milk powder and put it on my ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's pretty tasty.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But don't try to make it with cold water because it, it's not good that way.
No. In 1899, African-American inventor Benjamin Jackson received a patent for a gas burner. So I think like a hot plate gas.
Very nice.
1932, vitamin C is first isolated by Professor C. Glenn King at the University of Pittsburgh. In 1939, Merck Sharp and Domi announced the first synthesis of vitamin B6. And in 2020, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now recommends that people wear face coverings in public. Many grocery stores begin limiting the number of customers allowed in stores at a time and limiting one person per shopping cart. I was listening to something on CNN last night. They had a year in review type thing about the coronavirus and how doctors were telling people prior to the 4th of April that, you know, there's no reason to wear masks. And, you know, for one, I think they were misstating. I think that was, we need to preserve the mask for the people who are on the front lines of this because there was a shortage of that. And then because I heard Dr. Fauci say that, you know, we realized that you could just take a regular cloth mask, and that was very effective in that. But, you know, we have to still understand at this point last year, we still didn't have a clue what this was outside of a coronavirus, and thinking coronavirus has been around for a long time. COVID-19 has not, and that's what thrown everybody off, and we're just now getting a grip of what it is, and it's still not completely known, and there's a lot of unknown factors that we're having to figure out along the way. And I hate the devastation that's done, but I have to say it's been very fascinating.
How so?
Well, just to watch what will be history. It's the same thing as, you know, don't like anything that happened on 9/11, but, you know, the things of where was I, what was I doing, and when it happened, and we lived through that history. You know, you and I, neither one were around for Pearl Harbor, neither one of us around for D-Day, none of us were around for World War I and all this stuff, and the stuff we read about. This is stuff our kids are old enough to know about it, but grandkids will read about, and, you know, people who went through the Great Depression. That's a, you know, there, you can find a few of them left, but not many. And
my grandparents came through the Depression. So, yeah, you know, talking with them about their experience, My grandfather was a chaplain in the U.S. Army in World War II and was the second U.S. soldier through the gates of Auschwitz when we liberated the camp. I've heard his perspective of what happened, and what he told me was, I'm telling you this so that you will not forget what happened.
Yeah.
We must never forget.
Right.
So you're right. We get to tell the stories that we have been told, and then the things that we got to experience firsthand.
Right.
I remember when the space shuttle blew up. I can tell you right where I was. I was barefoot. And I those kind of weird details that you remember.
I had just turned the TV on for that, sitting in my, I was still living in West Virginia. It was the January right before we moved here in June in 86. And it was a snow day in school, so we didn't have to go to school that day. I was sitting in my room at home playing with my, I was 15, yeah. I'm not afraid to say it. I was playing with some of my like Star Wars and stuff, action figures, even at 15. I liked that stuff. I would play with them now if I had them. They're at my mom's. I could go get them, but I just don't have them here. But I had just turned the TV on in my room when this happened. So I just sat and watched, and I'll never forget the most understated thing for that whole thing was, this is obviously a major malfunction. That's an understatement, if ever there was one.
Yeah. I was a sophomore at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and was on my way to class.
Barefoot.
Yeah, I went through a barefoot stage. I went through like 6-8 months, but I just didn't wear shoes. People are like, oh, your feet are gross. I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm barefoot, so what do you expect? I got over it. I got over it. But I remember hearing about it and then went back to my dorm room. I skipped class, went back to the dorm room and turned the television on and then watched the replays of it.
Yeah. And
we all just sat there for the rest of the afternoon watching all the news coverage.
Yeah. I watched it live. I say live. It's probably some kind of delay on it, but it was just staring mouth agape at the TV.
Yeah.
That's the first one I'd ever seen, the first space shuttle launch I'd ever seen. And I'm like, I don't think that's supposed to be, that doesn't look good.
It didn't look like it was supposed to happen.
Yeah. And then, this is obviously a major malfunction. Yeah, you're right.
You think?
But yeah, so we're just, like I said, it's fascinating to watch the coronavirus stuff. I wish it didn't happen. I wish it's something we didn't have to ever talk about again. But hopefully it doesn't, I mean, hopefully the virus goes away, but the talking of it never does. Because there was
there's a good chance our grandkids will be studying it.
Yeah. Yeah, and how not to react to a world pandemic.
Yeah, what not to do in case of an emergency.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your food holidays and history for this week. Special thanks to James Ehler at foodreference.com for making us chuckle, roll our eyes, look at some pretty grim shit, and
yeah.
Yeah, and remember Chocolate Mousse Day this week. Yeah.
Yes, and that there is chocolate powder out there.
Yes, there is. We have proof of its existence. The Man Who Eats the Town podcast is part of the Less Desirables podcast network. Along with this podcast, you can listen to Less Desirables, The Beer Dads, Fan Interference, Beeswax, Vinyl, and more, Wheeler's Dog, and Asylum Tales of the Devereaux Diaries podcast. You can find all those podcasts and the latest episodes on our network website and directory, tldpodnetwork.com. You'll also find social media links to each one there as well. This is a reminder to all of our listeners, and it's just good practice, and not just now, but for always. Wash your damn hands. That's why we're talking about the stuff we talk about every week, because you don't wash your damn hands. Wash with warm water and soap. wash with that soap for about 20 seconds or more. This will go on for more than 20 seconds because I forgot to cue it up before right now. But if you need 20-second reference for this time, hum and sing this song when it starts, that is.
Yeah, but not before.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully. Oh, faithfully watching me. But then they sent me away, teach me how to be sensible, logical.
Yes, so that album came out, Breakfast in America from Supertramp, came out 42 years ago today.
You know, when you do that, it's like, oh, I remember Breakfast in America, that was a great... 42 years ago
today.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Keep an eye on my blog and this podcast to find out more about the food news and happenings around town. If you have any food news, send us an email at Tim or Leah or Ray at themanwaytotown.com. You can also contact us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter Instant Messengers. Like us on Facebook. On Twitter, we are Manwho8thetown. On Instagram, we are Manwho8thetown. And we invite you to call or leave a voicemail for the podcast or any podcast on the TLD network. You can call 336-422-6862. That's right,
336-422-NUM.
Leave us a voicemail and we will play it on the podcast. Again, 336-422-6862 or NUM. Well, hopefully Leah gets to join us next week. Her school is kicking her butt. So,
I feel for her. I have 9 messages and 2 papers to do myself this week. So, yeah.
Wow.
And I feel for her.
I have burgers to eat, podcasts to record, and videos to shoot.
See, you got a bunch too.
Yeah, dude.
We're all busy.
We are. But yet, we still.
Either busy or bored.
We still could be busy. Yeah, exactly. We still find time to talk to our listeners.
Our friends. Our fellow foodies.
Yeah. Well, my name's Tim.
My name's Ray.
And we're closing the recipe box. Very loudly. Until next time, thank you for reading. Thank you for listening. Bon appetit.
Yamas.
The views and opinions stated by me or any of my guests are solely those of ours and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of our hosting companies, distributors, enemies, friends, or relatives. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced or distributed without express written consent of the man who ate the town, that's me, and such Limited, Inc. However, if you ask nicely, we'll probably let you.